Hey, home theater friends. Thanks for pushing play on the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week, The Dark Knight in 4K. I brought my buddy John in from Bright Side Chat, and we're going to break this down, have a little bit of fun. Let's get in there. I'll be back afterwards with more information on how you can support the podcast and all of that fun stuff. But let's get in there.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Not till the next year. Yeah, we'll save all that stuff for later. When was the last time you watched this scene before I asked you about it?
Oh, long time. I don't even know.
It's a great, great scene. Yeah, I can't wait to get to it.
I haven't even watched that disc. I haven't watched it in 4K.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have it, obviously, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, well, this should be...
I haven't watched the majority of my 4K discs. I've just started buying them all.
Oh, really? You're just sitting there buying them all and collecting them? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, like at Thanksgiving, I buy 30 of them. I don't watch them all. I don't have time to watch 30 movies. Yeah. So
you're too busy watching everything else you watch.
Everything else, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But even when I do, I watch the ones that I haven't actually seen yet. You know,
right?
And then I
Yeah, you're not like me. You don't like to watch things over and over. You're more of a one and done type of guy.
I am, but I would have watched this whole movie last night if I didn't have other things I was getting ready to watch, because once I watched that scene, I was ready to keep going, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, what did you watch it on if it wasn't the 4K, just a regular disc?
No, I watched it on the 4K disc.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I own it now.
Yeah,
I just haven't actually watched it. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to it. Let's get to it. The listeners are sitting here with you and I are just chit chatting, coming in cold, having a good time. You are bailing me out big time. I had a busy week. I told BJ the other day on Takeover Tuesday that I had big plans for a show this week that I'm very excited to do, a movie I'm excited to break down, but it's so extensive. And then my schedule.
And he's going to see this show.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be like,
hi.
I don't think you understand what exciting and extensive is, DJ.
Exactly. So. It's like, wait a minute. But yeah, my schedule wasn't very conducive to breaking down this movie that I'm going to be breaking down someday soon. So I texted you and I'm like, let's do a movie. Let's do a scene, a breakdown of scene. And we came up with this one. And it really is. I mean, I've always loved this scene. Just because it's one of those where you put the disc in, you start the movie, and it's easy to get to. You know, there's no scrolling. You just start right there. But then as I sat down and watched this thing, and I sent you my notes, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I have no notes. I'm like, it looked good. It sounded good.
No. But yeah, but as I went through it, and it's 6 minutes. It's all it is, this scene, opening scene. It's 6 minutes, and you go back and through it a few times, and you start to hear some other things, which is what I really like to do. So, first off, overall experience with this, did you get it to reference level?
Were you able
to do that last night?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Allowed you to do that?
Well, I was here alone in the house. I had 6 minutes that I could spare
before she came home.
Yeah. But yeah, I did have it cranked up to reference level. Like I said, I'm not sure how much we were recording of the beginning of our conversation, but like I said, I haven't watched this in 4K ever, since I've owned it. This was the first time. And kind of like you, this used to be my go-to scene. Like when I started messing around with my surround sound systems, even in my old house, and I had my smaller theater room, this was the scene I always put on when I wanted to hear the overhead speakers or just see if I had surround sound working in the room. This was always the scene I put on. So it was funny that you brought that up.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday.
It has the subwoofer levels. the LFE yeah. effects throughout this scene, this one scene, this 6 minutes, and it's
right.
there's we'll get to a couple of them that they're just it's so deep throughout the entire scene, but it also goes in like kind of like waves, like it's like yeah. whoa, whoa, all the way through, but then it disappears for a little bit, but then it comes back even stronger. I have a couple of scenes that we could talk about for that. It has great surround effects and stuff, and it's just one of those scenes that, and again, you know, Christopher Nolan doing his thing without Atmos, it's just right. DTS 5.1 master audio, and it's like, do we need Atmos? Do you need DTSX? Do you need object bass?
Well, you don't feel like you didn't have it, you know what I mean? Like right. it didn't feel any different than an Atmos scene that you would watch from another movie. I had stuff all over my room, you know, from speaker yeah. to speaker throughout this scene. Now, again, my experience is a little bit different than yours because I don't get the bass that you get. Right. I get great crystal clear audio, and I get the surround and the speakers and left and right and all that, but my bass just doesn't hit the same way yours does because my room is not set up with
it's more of an open
thing.
Plan. You have a larger
right. It's a big open, you know, living room, kitchen, floor plan. Even though I have three big subs, I don't get the
yeah. What the do you have? Rumble. Let everybody know for people that are new. What do you have for subs? You have two SVS.
Yeah, hang on. I gotta PC pull up my notes here.
2000s, it's the right?
yeah PC 2000s and then the SVS SB12. So I've got the two PC 2000s on my front stage, and then the third is back on my right. I'd love to get a fourth one in there, but just don't really have the room.
Ran out of room?
I don't really have the room. It's funny because right. I just said it's a big open room, but on that back wall, it cuts off because it goes into my kitchen. Right. So I would literally have a sub just sitting like in the middle of my kitchen, and right. that wouldn't work.
Put a tablecloth.
Because I know three subs is not optimal. You know, they always say you should go with the two or the four, But so I get some, you know, obviously I get bass out of those, but I don't get the same rumble and the same,
right.
you know, feeling that you're able to get. But as far as everything else goes, the sound is very clear. I get the Atmos, I get all that stuff. So even though this isn't Atmos, I still get the overhead effects. And
right. Do you upmix it to the Neural X? Are you automatic? Like mine, automatic. It's like I have certain, you know, whatever track comes in, it automatically go. Like if it's a DTS,
yeah, my processor yeah. pushes that. Yeah. I've got the Denon 6500, and it does all that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it that's what's nice about it too. It's like, have you ever gone back and forth and listened to just the 5.1 track? And then you listen to the Neural X up mixing. Have you heard?
Yeah, I go through and I'll switch it. Well, I'll switch it through all kinds of. I'll be on like mono, you know, just to mess around with it. But
back in the old
yeah,
Yamaha
I have
days, church
yeah.
mode.
Whoa. I have switched it around to different ones just to see what the difference in sound is.
Yeah, Neural X. I just think it makes it that much. It just gives you that much more. It gives you the ambient sounds are a lot nicer. They're a lot smoother throughout the room.
Right.
That's how I feel it is. And I don't think it actually, I mean, I still feel like when I do the straight 5.1, I still feel like there's some stuff going over us, but right. It's not as smooth as I think the Neural X and the Dolby surround actually smooths that stuff out a little bit more, giving you that more of that, you know, object based sound that's really nice. Right. And you really shouldn't even be noticing your speakers up top unless it's like a helicopter or rain or something. It should really right. just be an ambient type thing. And that's what we get a lot with this scene. So let's get into the scene. First up, I mean, just the way it starts out. It's like, I actually have it playing here right now in front of me, and the sound's down, but I'm sitting in my theater right. and I have it playing. But we start out with just like at 4 seconds, the 4 second mark, we just get that deep bass right away. And it shook my room. How was it for you?
Again, loud, but yeah. it doesn't shake. For me, it doesn't shake as much as it just kind of gets loud, right. You know?
Yeah. But the detail too, there's also, now you probably really enjoyed the detail in this. It's like, so there was some back and forth going on when you first start out this scene. It's like you get that bass that comes in, but then isn't it, it's almost like a shaker, like a weird kind of maraca sound or something, but it's going from left yeah. to right. Like you'll hear it a little bit on the left side of the screen, then a little bit on the right side of the screen. But it goes back and forth. And then there's also like a atmospheric sound filling the room too. Do you know what I mean right. by that? Like you could hear
it. Well, yeah, because the visual you. Is like, it's like it's coming in through a cloud of smoke or something. The logo is. So it's kind of like the audio representation of that, you know?
Right. Yeah. And you can, at reference level, you can really, you can feel the sound, if not in a right. visceral way, but you just say, whoosh, like you just feel that. And then it goes to, you go to that full screen at like 54 seconds and you just, it again, more bass, and you start to come in on that window. And do right. you remember the first time you saw this? I've seen this movie so many times. I have a hard time, except for this one part where the window blows out. But I remember yeah. sitting in the theater and just being like feeling that even in the theater. But now it's so much more. Is when that window does blow out in the bass that you right. get out of that.
I probably saw it at like the $2 theater. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember having that experience. Like when we were watching this movie, I had, you know, we were taking 7 kids to the movie. So
yeah,
the theater by where my store is now was always like first run movies. And they were like $1 or $1.50 a ticket. So that's where we went. But it was like the old Franklin cinema, you know, we weren't getting, you know, we weren't getting surround sound or, you know, any giant screens or anything like that. So
I remember I was lucky. I got to see it. Our kids were young as well at the time. But we had a place up in Maine we rented, and Jen and the kids were up north, and I got to see it by myself. I went with actually a friend of mine and his wife. I kind of encroached on their date and went and saw this.
Nice. But hey, I'm going to come too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they
sit in another row. You don't even have to sit with me.
Yeah. No, I sat.
Just give me a ride home.
I mean, I know it isn't in this scene, but I remember the reason I totally remember going with them is that, you know, the scene when he puts the Joker puts the knife in the guy's guy's mouth. When he first tells the story, how he got the scars, and then they right. never show him cut his mouth, but they cut away. But at the same time, I still remember the three of us are like this with our heads down. Like, oh my God.
I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it, because that's like the worst. Like, paper cuts right. are bad, but if you ever imagine cutting your mouth like wide right. open, like the Joker did, you know, and I'm like, just that visual of that knife being in that guy's mouth, I was like, no, I'm like, But yeah, that's why I remember being with them, because I put my head down and out of the corner of my eye, I look and I see their heads are down and everything. Right. but yeah, so yeah, that window blowing out, that was at like a minute 12 into this scene. And it just let you know, like, oh my God. And the clarity in the glass too. Coming out of that window. Yeah. You probably heard that too.
I did. Yeah.
That was really cool. And at 1 minute and 20 seconds, we go to the Joker standing on the side of the road. Right. And it wasn't until today, I'm like, this guy's standing on the road without his mask on.
Yeah. Cause it's, Joker. Yeah, it's hanging. Yeah. You could see it.
Yeah. Cause they come in on him obviously on a full back shot.
Right.
Really nice bass there, too. Just a boom. And then they come in and they gradually creep in behind him. And then you hear the car coming up. I wish there was a little bit more of a pan of it. It just comes up and gets right on the screen. And then he right. puts his mask on as they're pulling up.
That's but funny. I never realized, never thought about that either till you just said it. The fact that he was standing there with his clown makeup on the street corner.
Right, with his scarred mouth, and he's all made up. Because we get at the end scene, which is a huge, you know, reveal. He takes the mask right. off. I mean, we all, even the first time I knew this, you kind of know that's the Joker.
Right.
But at the end, when he's talking to the bank manager, and he's like, whatever, I can't remember what he says. He's like, you know, you're better at that. What's the line? I don't remember the line though.
He's like, I don't remember.
Yeah, I wish I should have wrote that down of all things. But he takes it off and there's a huge sound for that. But you get the look of his face and you're like, that face was just standing on the corner.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it is Gotham, so that's just like a Tuesday, you know? Right. It's like nobody's even looking. Everybody's just like driving by and going about their business.
Yeah, but the funny thing is look at that face, and he's got a clown mask in his hand.
Right.
It's like, which is which here?
You could have just gone and pretend that was your mask.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that was the whole point of it, that the crew didn't know that he was the guy.
Right.
But yeah, so then from there we go to that zip line scene, and that's where the base really, I think, ramps up, where they shoot that zip line across. Right. And when there's a nice little pan, a quick pan there, when they send the first bag across and they have it on the screen, and he goes zzz, and it pans from like pretty much center of the screen to the right side of the screen. And then from there we go, and this was really nice, especially the imagery. Yeah. I guess that's a word, right? Imagery. Yeah.
It is. It is a word.
They come out and they're looking down. The camera is above the zip line and you see the guys go, and that looks so nice, especially the giant full screen of this.
Yeah. Well, and it, to me, cause again, I didn't take notes, so I don't know exactly when this was. But the thing that stands out for me, too, is the gravel. Like, when their feet hit the gravel, and just the sound of the gravel, it's, like, so clear. And I don't know why that always stands out for me every time I watch it. But something about when they hit that, you know, they hit that gravel coming off the line there, it just sounds really great. So.
There's a lot of, that's one of the things that, that's one of the reasons I love this scene, is that we all love this scene for the base. We all love this scene for some of the pans and stuff, but it's the details, exactly like you just said, like that gravel. Also that when they open the bag and you see the grenades and stuff in the bag, and you hear those little noises. Same with, it's Heath Ledger, but when they get out of the car to go into the bank, you can hear their feet shuffle on the ground. There's so much going on throughout this 6 minutes of sound around your room, and so clear. But yet all the while, you, like we said earlier, you have that undertone of bass going on. You'd think that would drown out some of that clarity of all that stuff. But it doesn't, right? And it's funny you mentioned that gravel, because I love that gravel too. And I kept looking at and look how nice that gravel looks.
Well, and I was going to say the 4K, the image that we, you know, we're talking all about the sound, but the image there too is, it's like super, like, I don't know. It feels like you could just reach out and pick up a rock and throw it at somebody.
I know.
You know?
I know. So. And it's, yeah, exactly. That gravel was so nice. All right, let's go into a quick little Johnism, step out of home theater for a second. So the first guy gets shot, that gets shot, where he's like, okay, are we all set with the alarm? And he's like, yeah.
Right.
Do you just die from a shot in the back? Like, immediately?
Yeah, well, they all did that too, right?
Exactly. It's like,
I'm like, because, well, it depends on the movie. Because if he's the hero, he gets like 97 shots and he keeps on rolling around and keeps on going.
Exactly.
But if it's the bad guy, they get like a shot in the ankle and they're dead. You know, it's
like, because you can see the guns aimed down. It's like at his back, and it's just like, boom. And the guy goes, blah, and just collapses.
Yep, he's just
not a
instantly
sound.
Dead.
Yep. I'd be like, ow.
Yeah, right. Like, what the heck, man?
Not even enough. There is a sound later, and I'll get to that, one of the scenes, which this is a very nice little detail that I think maybe you hadn't heard before. Maybe you did today, listening to it back and forth. But the, of course, no scene would be complete if it didn't have a nice open pan of doors that I absolutely love. And when they go into the safe room at like 3 minutes, and they open the door to get into where the safe is, right? And you open the doors, and it's really quick, because the doors, the left door and the right door, open pretty much at the same time. But you hear that boom, boom, on either side of your room. And right. just really, really nice. And this also gets into the image as well. If that once they go into that safe area where the money is, everything turns into like a Matrix color that
right.
all tinted, you know, green for money.
Green.
Yeah. And really nice contrasting the lobby area where you have the nice, it's, you got the warm glow of the sun coming in the windows. You have the wood, you have, there's a lot going on out there. I'm wondering, as I watched it over and over, I'm wondering if Christopher Nolan did this on purpose, but a lot of banks have those, like, those lamps, especially in movies with the green
lamps
on them.
Yeah, they're called banker's lamp.
Right.
Yeah, they're called banker's lamp.
There are none in the lobby.
Right.
And it's like, I'm wondering if he was like, no, we can't do that because we're doing green inside the
inside
safe.
Inside the thing. Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Because that would have... It would have matched it up, but this there was no real green in the lobby area, which I thought right. that's because, like you said, every time you see it, it's either a library or a bank or something, but it'll have that little green cover on it.
Right.
All right. At 3:45, he's outright. Listen for the gunshot case. Oh, that's when the manager. The bank manager.
Yeah, like, when he comes out and starts firing in that shotgun, those are some booms. Like, I got that, you know?
Yeah, but actually, let me back up a second, because I think right before that, I don't have the timestamp for this one. When they first walk into the bank and they fire up into the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones that you can I really felt like that was over your head. The echo right. felt like it was in the high part of my room because that's where they were shooting the gun. And I thought right. that had a nice, you know, nice base shot to it. Nice bait. Well, not base shot because it was multiple shots, but the echo throughout the room. And I felt like it was appropriately elevated in the room, which I thought was really cool. But then, yeah, at 3:45, that's where we get the bank manager shooting through his office window. Shoots right. the guy in the back. But then, yeah, as he's walking down, and you can hear him cocking the gun.
Right, he's cocking the gun, and those were thuds, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, each shot was a... But listen for the cartridges, because a couple of them you can hear early on, the casings from the shotgun right. shells. A couple of them you can hear early on. There's one part where he shoots... And the whatever's on top of the little counter that's right there, the paper, you could see the paper on the left part of the screen. It's like because you're walking with him at this point, and the paper shoots up in the air on the left part of your screen. And the sound for that actually follows off screen. And you can right. you can hear that. That was really cool. But the one that I really liked that he did, it was right after. So the Joker... The Joker and the other clown posse guy, they're right. hidden behind the thing. And he goes, is he out? And I love how the Joker does this, too. Like, if it's even Heath Ledger, I'm sure it is, Heath Ledger. He has to act like he's thinking.
Right.
So in a clown face with the mask on, he looks up like, okay, for a second, and then comes back. And you could really feel like he's thinking it out, like he's right. counting in his head. Right. And then he goes, He just nods. The guy stands up. And of course, we all know he gets shot.
Right.
When he gets shot, listen, in your right rear of your room. Did you hear this? He goes like, oh, like you.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah. Go back and listen to it. It's yeah. there. I've listened to it so many times. I even backed it off a little bit down to like minus 10. And you can still hear him. It's in the right rear of your room, right where he would be, because you're looking
right.
at the bank manager on the screen, and he just shoots. He's like, boom, and, you know, and he goes, you hear in the right rear of the room, like, oh, and he falls down. It's pretty, it's pretty cool. And then, of course, the Joker gets up and, you know, he shoots him with that. That's a really cool gun. I wish Joe was around right now. I'd ask him what that was, but like automatic handguns.
Yeah.
One thing I do know about those is, like, he has told me, and you would imagine they're pretty impractical because they only hold a few rounds and you go, okay, it's out.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah.
That's it. That was a lot of fun.
If this was our other show, I'd make a joke about something, but I'll leave this show more PG.
So right then when he shoots that guy, listen to the back of your room. And there's bass, and it comes in. It's not a heartbeat, but there's a deep bass to this. And it's like around 3:55 after the clown that we know is the Joker, he shoots him. And it's like, there's bass that hovers after that. And I went back actually. And when you start the scene, it's there. This is the one that I talked about earlier, that there's this hovering bass that's throughout the scene, but it goes away, but it comes back with a renewed intensity when he stands up and he shoots right after he shoots the bank manager, and right. It hovers, but it goes back and forth too across your room. And there's even a switching noise at about the 4 minute mark. That's like, whew, whew. It's weird. I have no idea what it is. But it's such a nice ambient sound that just adds to the scene.
Right.
At 4 minutes and 30 seconds, rear channels, that's the one. Listen for the sweeping sound around there, especially right at the line, "I'm betting the Joker told you to kill me as soon as we loaded the cash." So right. This is that when the bad guy, the other clown posse, he's figured out the plan. Right.
Right. And he says, "No, I killed the bus driver."
And so like Heath Ledger is trying to move over to the side so he doesn't get hit by the bus. But in those quiet moments between the dialogue, that's when you can really hear your rear channels are like, they're doing something. They're moving and it's swishing. The sound is swishing back and forth right back there. Really, really cool. Let's see. What else? What else do you got? Anything?
No, I'm just going off your notes. So I didn't take notes, man. So like I said, I'm not really prepared. I watched the scene. That's it.
There you go. So, there you go. All right.
I didn't do the homework. The dog ate it.
The dog ate it. There you go. Yeah. 4 minutes and 55 seconds. What bus driver? And you can hear that bus coming.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's very quick. It's almost like he's sitting there listening outside the window, and you just hear, he's like, "What bus driver?" He's like, "Oh, now rev the engine.
That's my cue."
he comes through the wall, but right before he comes through the wall, you can hear that engine start, rev, and it comes through, and really nice bass explosion there. And then listen for that debris to land in the back of your room. It's that one there I thought was really, really cool. And it's very, very quick, especially if you're listening for that engine at the beginning. And then what happened to the rest of the guys? Listen to that when he shoots the bus driver now. So you go, and that's when he unloads the and listen as Heath Ledger is walking away, he shoots back over his shoulder and listen for the guy to drop. You can hear it. It's just you're just off to the side, off to the right there. And at 5:40, that's the reveal of the Joker. And you get boom, the big sound in your room. Of course, the bus pulls away. And again, to your point, like we were talking about earlier with the gravel and the bags opening the zippers and the little tiny
super
noises.
Clear. Like you can hear everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And then, as the bus pulls away, we're at, the six-minute mark here, and you hear that debris just falling off of the bus.
Right.
And another John-ism, I'm like, how would they not know to follow the bus with all the dust and crap coming off of it?
Right.
I guess that falls in line with just another thing, Gotham.
I was going to say, they're all dirty, right? It's Gotham, so.
Yeah. That's a scene. That is a scene right there that, like you said, it's like it's been a while since I've used it, but I think we kind of take it for granted because it's so, can you imagine this is considered an older movie now?
I know. Well, what year was that? I don't even remember.
I'm ballparking it at 08. I haven't looked.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked.
Eight or nine.
Yeah. Yeah. 08, 09. I think it was 08.
Yeah.
I think it was 08.
Yeah, it was a while ago. So that was 14 years ago now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because 08 is when I was actually, would have been when I was setting up that room in my previous house. We bought that in July of 08.
Okay.
And I already had it on Blu-ray by then, so.
Yeah.
It had to have come out earlier that year or maybe in 07. So.
Yep. 08. The Dark Knight. 08. Just looked it up. Yeah. And it lots of play. And this entire scene that we just listed, that's all in the big IMAX enhanced, IMAXed look. You know, the variable aspect ratio. I think it opens up at the very beginning with the, you know, with the bars, and then it just, right when we go to that full screen, yeah, we get the full screen, and it's just so nice. So nice. Such a great scene. I love watching the entire movie. I love the IMAX enhanced. Or not enhanced, but the variable aspect ratio. This isn't IMAX enhanced, but I actually do enjoy the variable aspect ratios in this movie. And I think it was this the first one?
I think it was. It was the first one that I ever knew about.
I want to say that I remember when it came out, a lot of people didn't even know it had it, and they were just watching the disc. And I remember I had my brother over. And I was like, you got to see this scene, this movie. And I showed him some scenes of it. Like later on, when they go down into the tunnel and the screen opens up even more, or you go to that variable aspect ratio, and he goes, wow, he's like, wow, it just got so clear. Yeah. He didn't notice that it just actually,
you don't always notice. You know? Like, I don't always notice it either. Cause you're just so into watching the movie.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh wait, like when did that happen?
Where'd the bars go? But then you notice when it closes. Oh no.
Right.
Like, oh no, I want that back. But yeah, it does. It pulls you in and out of the movie, which not pulls you out of the movie, but it creates a different intensity in the movie.
So. Right.
All right. Don, that was great.
It was. I mean, I feel like, you know, I just did a lot of nodding my head and, you know, going with you, but.
I know. Great. I could have broke this down. I break them down by myself every week, but it's always fun to have you in. It's always fun.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, I talk to you every week anyways, and we're about to do our Brightside chat one. So, you know.
Yeah.
But you bailed me out, buddy. Yet again. There will be a Brightside Home Theater podcast this week. And if you listen to this, you know that because this is it.
Yes, right.
All right.
That's right.
Let's get out of here. Thanks, John.
All right. Oh, no problem. Take care, everyone.
Again, thanks to John for helping me out this week. Was a lot of fun. In a rush this week, guys, and I had to get something out because I really want to get something out every week. And this is giving me an idea. Is there a particular scene that you want me to break down? Now, just the scene. So that way I can have something on deck. I'll compile a list for everybody. And when I'm in a pinch and I can only do a scene, I'll grab it. I'll reference who gave me the scene and we'll break that down. I love breaking down movies. It just takes time. And this week, it was so evident this week. I'm like, oh, it just got really busy. Sorry about that. I can't wait for you guys to hear the movie that I'm talking about. I don't want to tell you yet, but. Like I said with BJ during Takeover Tuesday earlier this week, it's pretty extensive. So just let me know your favorite scene if you have a timestamp for it, and I will put it on the list. And then when I'm in a pinch, I'll just break down that one particular scene. This one happened to be 6 minutes long. It took me about probably 20, 30 minutes to break it down and then sit down and record it. So that's not too bad compared to an entire movie that takes me hours. So really appreciate that. Sorry. I appreciate your understanding in just putting out this shorter podcast this week in just a scene. But let's be honest, it was a pretty great scene, right? All right. If you liked what you saw here, hit subscribe. And if you really like what you saw here, you can support me on Patreon at patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater. They will take as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like once a month. Simple, $12 a year. You could support this podcast for as little as $12 a year. Or you could just put $1 and then cancel next month because you only wanted to give me a dollar. That's great too. Or you could not give me anything. Just support me by following me on Twitter at BrightsideHT
or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com and support me by, you know, hey, give me ideas for the show, talk to me on Twitter, create conversations. We're having a great time there. So thank you to everybody for all the support that I'm getting. And don't forget, if you want to be on the show, email me, DM me, let me know, and I'll put you on the schedule for Takeover Tuesdays where the listeners are taking over. Great bunch of guests I've already had. I got another great guest coming up next week. Can't wait. These aren't interviews. They're meet and greets. I love meeting the listeners. I love meeting other home theater people that are so passionate like I am. Let's have some fun. Put your name on the list. Don't be shy. I know I've talked to a few of you that are like, no, I couldn't do that. Yes, you could. You can. I'll get you through it. It's not that hard. We just have fun, and then we let other people listen in. It's all it is. So it's like talking in the middle of Walmart, right? We're having a home theater conversation, and all these people are listening to us. The only difference is the people listening to us, they're not rolling their eyes. They're as excited as we are. So don't be shy. Sign up. Let's have some fun. But until next week's Takeover Tuesday, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.